Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting Sherry. Our show is now sponsored by Altair Lessine. It's a fusion of culture, of classic lines with a contemporary feel is the vision behind the unique pearl jewelry designs by Altair Lessine. Today on Chatting with Sherry, we're going to speak with author Sarah Wathen, and we're going to talk about her book, The Tramp. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello. So nice to be on your show, Sherry.
Hi, thanks for being on. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
And you said my name right. I'm so excited. That rarely ever happens.
I try. I hope I don't mess anything up, but I'm human. why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
I just published my very first book, finishing and publishing two very different things.
Yes.
I live in Orlando with my husband and my son. My husband's probably listening right now. Hi, Bill. And I've lived in Florida for most of my life. I guess I kind of come from Florida, if anybody comes from Florida. But actually, I was born in Oklahoma City. And that's probably where my art background sort of started. My grandfather was a cartoonist for 58 years for a newspaper there. So my family has always been visually inclined, I guess. So that's what I did for probably the last 10 or 12 years. Is I was I thought of myself as a painter, and I only really just started writing fiction like 2 years ago.
What motivated you to write fiction?
I guess, you know, when you're any kind of artist, you're always trying to find some way to make a living being an artist,
yeah.
Being able to do what you love and still, you know, if you can't make a living doing it, you can't really do it for very long. So I started illustrating is what got me into the first ebook that I published was actually an illustrated version of the Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. Once I learned how to do that and get it out there to the world, not that I marketed it or anything, so it's not, I don't know how far into the world it is, but once I realized that, you know, I could do that, in this day and age, the next step was a full-fledged book, I guess. My next project that I actually finished was The Tramp.
And when you started working, were you a big reader already? I know you're an artist because, you know, that's what you were, but to write, you have to read. And I just wondered, did you enjoy any books? Was there an author that you preferred?
For me, I guess the biggest reading influence on me is my husband reads a couple books a week. One after the other after another, and when we first got a Kindle, and all of, you know, our Kindles were connected, so all the books that Bill was just constantly reading were all, you know, flooding onto my Kindle, and I mean any author, any genre, I mean he hardly ever really doesn't read anything, and it's hard to even, he's a sci-fi guy. But other than that, he just reads so voraciously that just anything. And I don't know if I could really even put a name down to who one author. It's just the plethora of all of them out there, you know, and all this material to constantly be reading. That's really what influences me, I guess.
That's interesting. Yeah, he's sort of like me. I'm a voracious reader myself, so I understand that. and I like all different things. There's some people who just focus on like one thing, like science fiction or mysteries,
mm-hmm.
or horror or whatever. Me, everything. Anything that fancies my little interest, that's something. But are you like a devotee of any particular author that you, if that person has a book come out, that you got to get it?
you know, recently I've been on an indie author crusade, you know, and I do read well-known authors. For example, Bill, my husband just went on a Stephen King kick for a few months, and so I did read a lot of Stephen King at the time because it was just right there. But I've had some really great experiences, some bad too, but some really great reads with indie authors. The two that I would think most affected me recently, one of them, her name is Eva Van Rel, and she wrote, it's fantasy, but it has so much to do with the history of the Roman and Greek gods, and it's really interesting. She brought it back to life, and it's actually gods come to life in the book. They're all real in the book. And she just did it. She just pulled it off in a really great way, and I would definitely recommend it. It's called, The Butterfly Crest is what it's called. I love that one. Another author that I was really just so impressed with recently, his name is Daniel Barnett, and he writes horror. And I don't really read a lot of horror, but his is just so poetic. His first book is called The Safe. And I just, as soon as I started reading it, I was hooked. And it was a page turner, but it was also just absolutely gorgeous. I can't even count the number of notes that I took, you know, on my Kindle to go back and read that just great line again, you know. So I guess I just keep finding new ones all the time. Indie authors are amazing.
That's fun. That's really fun. I remember the first book I ever read were the Greek, I've always been interested in Greece and Rome and stuff like that. But the first book I ever read was The Nightlife of the Gods by Thorne Smith. He's the one who wrote Topper. And it was the funniest book. I was sitting laughing my head off as I was reading it. It's the guy who wrote Topper, so you know it's funny.
I have to write that one down.
Yeah, it's Nightlife of the Gods. I've always wondered why they never produce that as a movie. To me, it's like the perfect film. They keep rehashing stuff over and over again. And here's this wonderful book that nobody's ever produced as a movie. We now have CGI that you can do some of the magic that's in the book. Mm-hmm. Why isn't anybody doing it?
Yeah, that's frustrating. I know when you see the same kind of, you know, movie stories recycled again and again, and then you find something truly unique, and it's hard for people to accept it, I think.
I know. Unless it's like a super hit right now. Even then, I understand them doing it. It's just, you're like, there's got to be more. That's why you were saying indie books. That's why I like indie films and indie books. Because
yes,
at least there's
indie
a
films.
Little, you know, originality.
Yeah. I'm a huge indie fan, indie film fan as well. Because you do get originality. You get unique works and so much more interesting.
And it's a combination when you watch an indie film of new actors that you've never seen before and older actors that, of course, you have seen before. And it's interesting to watch them mesh together in this new concept of whatever the independent film is. So I like that concept, too.
I like that, too. I've been asked, you know, if I had to cast the characters from my books, who would they be? And that's a really... That's a really hard question to ask.
It's
because
a difficult question, yeah.
I feel like they'd be all indie actors that nobody knows who they are yet. And so,
yeah.
When I meet them, then I'll know. But nobody that's on the big screen, I couldn't imagine. I don't know. I guess that won't be my choice if it ever gets made into a movie.
Well, that's the other thing. If your book gets bought by a studio or even by an independent producer, I doubt very much that you and I, as independent authors, have much choice of who's going to be in our film.
No, I don't think so.
And also, they have to have somebody known because they have to have an anchor for an independent film that they can have go out and advertise it.
Well, they have to make money somehow, exactly.
Yeah.
They have to
have something known.
Yeah,
a director or an actor in it that's well known in order to get people to want to interview them.
Parker
to
Posey.
Talk about the film.
Yes.
Because, yeah. I just saw Michael Douglas talking about an independent film he did. I mean, you know, that helps.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yes, definitely.
Do you have a love of history, and does that have any part in creating your stories?
History plays, I would say that history is one of the single most important element, if I really had to choose one, because when I started writing in the beginning, the way that I started writing is my husband, he's a big part of my life. If you can't tell, he helps out with so much of my artwork. But he and I came up with the climax to the tramp, basically the end, one of the end scenes. And then I wanted to, what I did was build up the story to make that scene happen. And we decided, because of the story that we started with, that it was based in Tennessee, which I don't really know a lot about. I mean, I've been there a couple times, but I don't know that much about it. So the first thing I did was start researching the history, first the geological history, which had a lot to do with how the colonial settlers came over because of the Smoky Mountains and the way that they're laid out. It was very hard to move west from there. So it was one of the later places in colonial times to really get settled. And when I started going into that, then I started learning about all the Native American tribes there. And then, you know, started learning about the Mississippian culture and the fascinating, very developed culture of all different kinds of tribes, and it ranging all the way up from Canada all the way down kind of a band down the middle of the country into the east down to Mexico, basically, or when you hit water down there. And then from there, I mean, that just more and more, all of it was based on history. And so the kernel of the story has to do with an event that happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago with the indigenous people that lived there. And that's where the paranormal aspect of the tramp comes from, is there was an event that happened that that basically it just keeps it's a cycle of desire, loss, betrayal, revenge, and it just keeps spinning and spinning throughout the centuries. And that's the basic story of the tramp, and it comes from the history that I researched about the people and the place there in that area. Even though the tramp is fictitious, Shirley County is where it takes place. It's a fictitious place. I never do say it's in the Smoky Mountains or in Tennessee. It's kind of vaguely there, but that it is based on a lot of real events, actually. Surprisingly, based on real events.
That's really cool. Do you enjoy research?
I love research, and finally, I have, you know, something that I can use all my history that I love to read and love researching. But, you know, in the past, it's kind of been just for fun. And it's so nice to have something that I can actually apply it towards and write a book. Now, it's not wasted. It's never wasted time, but it actually seems to make a lot more sense now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing I really enjoy, too. I've always liked doing research. That was one of my favorite things when I was in school, because I loved history, was to do research, sometimes for an English project, sometimes for a history project. But it was like, I hated the actual, that they were so picky about stuff. And I was like, there's no creativity in it. Ugh.
Yes.
And then when I started writing, I go, oh, okay, I can pour all my creativity here.
Well, I was kind of thinking, well, how much of it is actual history and how much of it is kind of fantastical? Because I didn't really want to do either one way or the other. If you make up this fantastical place that doesn't have any basis in history, that in a way is a lot of work too. But if it's just history, then you have to be so specific about all the details. You can't step on anybody's toes. So, like, for example, I do use indigenous, you know, Native American tribes in my book, The Tramp, but they're all fictitious. I made up the names and I made up the language because I didn't want to have, not deal with the backlash, but I didn't want to step on anybody's toes. And, you know, I don't have history in the Cherokee Nation, so it wasn't really for me to delve into their history as much and then make a novel about it, I guess. I guess maybe I feel like I didn't quite have the right, so I decided to make that part a little bit more, you know, loosely based on what might be in terms of the past.
Yeah, it is fun, though, to do research onto a certain time period or people or style. I'm sort of a super liberal, so when I do it, it's always for, like, saying this is what happened, and isn't it better to be nice and be positive? I do put a little more, I don't do it like hammering it over someone's head. It's more gently put, but I do put moralizing in my book because it's like, hey, I'm writing. It's my point of view, so why not?
Mm-hmm. That's your right.
Yeah.
I probably
do you find
moralize
yourself doing that
later.
At all?
I guess in a way, I feel like I kind of have to a little because it is a small town in the mountains in the South. It's crazy to think that there's not going to be any kind of racism or sexism. And if I let that out completely, I mean, I think that's kind of insulting and just as much, you know, and also because not only researching the history of, you know, the ancient history, but, you know, the cultural fabric of the place now as it is and where that came from. So the art that they make now, the music that they make now, and there's a lot of art in all of my books, and especially music was something that I really had to research a lot because I didn't know anything about old time music. You know, it's not bluegrass. It's its own thing. And they do the way that they produce the music, the way they dance to the music, buck dancing. I had no idea. It's not really clogging. It's something very different. And there's a huge fine craft movement, you know, in that area. So all of that stuff I had to take into account while also writing a fiction story that was interesting and fun to read. You know, it's kind of a balancing act.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You have to balance. I mean, you don't want it to be a history lesson. You want it to be a fictional,
no,
fun story. Yeah, there is a balance,
right,
always. So what was the greatest satisfaction in completing your first book?
I think the greatest satisfaction was when I finished draft and it came to a close. The story came to a close. It was, at the time, I think it was about maybe 300, about 300 pages if you were to read, a paperback, maybe a little bit more. And I just felt like I hadn't really completed a project in so long. I had kind of bounced around in the art world from doing different kinds of art and wasn't quite satisfied with anything. Nothing really, I wasn't making any money doing any of it. And I just had tried so many projects that I just kind of pitted out. And when I finally finished that first draft, that was really exciting for me. And I remember being asked, so what is success? What do you see success as with this? Is it making a lot of money? Is it selling a certain amount of books? And I said, no, it's really finishing it and having it done and just the writing itself and completing the story.
It is interesting, isn't it, that people don't really understand until they start writing that when you're writing, you're really in there. You're in the story with the characters, and the characters tell you where you're going. And it's funny because actually yesterday I was working on one of my books, and I'm sitting there, my mom was on the phone, and I'm writing, like, it looks like an automatic writing, because I was just, and she's like, are you almost done? I go, well, wait a minute, it's still pouring out of my head.
Because
I get into, you get into a writing jag, and you can't stop until it's all done, finished pouring out of your head. I mean, mm-hmm. Do you feel like that, or?
I couldn't say it any better. I mean, and I do write my, well, I guess when I finish that second draft on the typewriter, on putting it into words, that's when I was most satisfied, with, I just mentioned. But I, actually, my first draft, I do write by hand. And that mm-hmm. is more that automatic writing and just, it's just pouring right out of your brain and onto the paper, and it's like chicken scratch. Nobody could read it, you know.
Exactly.
But
that's mine too.
Has to come out. It has to come out of your head, or you'll just go crazy. And I mean, like when I'm in that phase of writing, I just think about, you know, my friends, my characters are my friends. I think about them all the time, and I mm-hmm. have conversations in my head with them, and I think about how they would react to things and what music they would listen to.
It's hard to explain to someone, you know. I remember that I was meeting someone for lunch. I took the wrong turn off because my head was full of something. I'm just like, sorry I'm late. But my characters were bugging me, so I'm a little late. Sorry.
They told me to turn that way.
I was just distracted. They didn't tell me where to turn. I just got distracted.
You were talking to them.
Yeah.
The thing about it is they really are real. It's crazy, but they're real. And just like when you read a really good book, and you feel like you're in that world. Same thing when you're writing, whether the book is really good or not, it's not really for you to say, but you're so into it that you really are in that place and time and with those people. And sometimes it really stinks because I know that I will never meet Sam Castle. And he's a dream boy. And I just, oh God, I love him so much, but I'll never meet him because I made him up.
Yeah,
it is
an annoyance that you can never actually meet these people that are in your head for like years sometimes.
Torture.
Yes, I know. We're actually coming to the end of the show, so I need to ask you, do you have any events that are coming up that you want to tell anybody about, either online or live in person?
I have, right now I have a blog tour going on online. Tomorrow's the last day. This is part of it for this interview. So definitely you can check out anything like that on my website, which is my name, sarahwaffen.com. But the most exciting thing that I'm looking forward to is we're planning an event, a local event in Orlando, and it's going to be a cultural multidisciplinary event. It's going to have artwork, sculpture, glass working, painting, and then obviously literature. It's going to have my books, but then also I did the cover art for my books, so we'll have my artwork as well. And then most exciting to me is the Tramp actually has an original music soundtrack that was produced by the band Her Last Boyfriend, and it is just finishing up. It's going to be ready for release on CD Baby online, Spotify and everything in the next week or so, and they're going to play live at this event as well, and I'm really excited about it. It's going to be totally fun. It's June 26th in Orlando, and I just can't wait for that. I'm actually, after I hang out with you, I'm going to go continue working on the press releases because I've got to get those out tomorrow.
Wow, that's exciting. That is so cool.
Yeah, thrilled.
And are you working on a new book?
Well, there's the Tramp is it's a 4-book series called The Bound Chronicles. So I'm already working on book 2, and that's called The Glamour. And I'm going to try for my books, each one to come out, you know, a year apart on my birthday, April 13th. So that will be due for release next year at this time. I'm also working on a serial novel released in 6 parts that is it's an offshoot of the Tramp. I took 2 minor characters and turned it into, basically, it's pretty much a contemporary romance. And so that will actually, the first one will come out July 1st, which I'm really excited about too, because it's very different from the Tramp, and I can't wait to see what people think about that.
That's so cool. That's an offshoot, but it's completely different. That's very, very, really interesting.
It's from in the same town, same characters, but it's different flair. It's first person, first of all. It was the Tramp. It has a huge cast of characters, and it's third person. But Ketchkenny is the serial. It's a contemporary romance. Kind of a coming of age as well. But it's first person, the girl, and she's actually mentioned in the Tramp in kind of a bad way. kind of like called, like, oh, you know that slut, Meg Shannon. And so the book is actually about her, and who is she?
Wow. That's really different. That's really cool. You never know what's going to be inspired by your characters.
I know. It's so true. They just take on their own story. I can't do anything about it. They just have to write it down.
I know. And actually, if you don't write it down, you start getting really upset because they kind of haunt you.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I just started writing flash fiction. And that one, writing flash fiction one a day and having a story that people are following, and I get feedback every day, that is something that I won't be able to stop writing flash fiction, I think, for a while. So there'll be more of that on my blog, too. I love it. I'm addicted to it.
Yeah, that's how I feel about fan fiction. I'm just so addicted to it. I've written it pretty much since I was a teenager. And if I find a new show that I have to write, then it haunts you. It just does not let you alone.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'll have to check out some of this fan fiction you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty much every TV and movie that you've ever seen in your entire life has a fan fiction.
Oh, I haven't really gotten into it. This is going to be a new world for me.
Oh, yeah. And it can even be silly stuff. I know that there's fan fiction, although I've never read it, but there's fan fiction for Gilligan's Island. I can't really see myself getting into that. But, yeah, they have fan fiction. But I'm more of a Star Trek, Xena, now it's Miss Fisher. I also did Remington Steele. I mean, I'm more of a romance kind of girl.
Well, I like that idea, and that's one of the reasons why I keep on using the same town and the same characters, because, you know, you write one book at a certain point of view, and you think, well, what is that character really like? And you see it from one person's point of view, but it could be completely different from another point of view, and that's what's so interesting about it is nobody really knows what somebody is really like, not even yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And there's these different viewpoints.
It's interesting because your self-knowledge is based on what you hear from your family or friends and your upbringing and stuff. But when you hear it from other people, you're like, oh, wow, okay.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that's a new concept. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, thanks. sadly, we're actually at the end of the show. I want to thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. I had a great time. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. And her information will be on both my blog on tomorrow and my website. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sherry.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.